is the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. To get online, call toll-free nationwide, 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Sitting in for Dr. Mohler today, Russell Moore. Dr. Moore is Dean of the School of Theology at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary and Director of the Carl Henry Institute for Evangelical Engagement. Now, here's your host for today, Dr. Russell Moore.
Can I just be transparent with you for a minute? Al Mohler is the smartest man I know. We've worked together for many, many years very closely, and I love him dearly. But when he is wrong, he is wrong. And we have had an ongoing debate about something, and I want to bring it right here to Nationwide Radio today. We have argued for 10 years about which is better, the Andy Griffith Show or the Brady Bunch. Maybe it's just that 10, 15 years of difference in age, but I stand with the Brady Bunch, and he is resolutely behind the Andy Griffith Show. And Al, if you're listening, wherever you are out there in Big Sky Country in the West, I hate to break it to you, but the Andy Griffith Show has gone liberal. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler. This is the Albert Mohler Program, and Ron Howard and Andy Griffith and the guy who plays Fonzie, whose name I can't remember right now, Henry Winkler, have cut an advertisement in which they endorse Barack Obama and the change that Barack Obama is allegedly bringing to America. And this is what it sounds like.
Hey, Paul.
Hey, O. You look like you got something on your mind, son.
Paul, why are people so set on staying on the same road that's been messing us up for so long?
Well, O, people are funny. Sometimes change scares them. And they'd rather keep doing the same old thing that's been messing them up than change to the thing that can help them.
Like the time I wanted to fish for lake trout using peanut butter and jelly as bait?
That's right, O. You got stubborn and wouldn't switch no matter what I said.
When I'm a grown-up, I sure would like to vote for somebody as good as Mr. Obama.
Well, if you stay healthy and strong, avoid any felonies, stay away from the butterfly ballot, I bet you'll get a chance.
Now, when even Andy Griffith is behind Barack Obama, is our country moving to the left? That's the question that I have for you today. Do we still live in a center-right country? Or is our country, has our culture shifted in such a way that we now live in a liberal, progressive, socially permissive type of a culture? And if so, then how should we change as a church in trying to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ? Or should we? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. Do you think we still live in a basically conservative country that may be about to elect Barack Obama president? Or does this election represent a real shift? Is this a 1980 type of reorganizing election? Is there a huge shift going on around us that we ought to pay attention to? 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. And let me know what you think. Do you have a country that's just saying, you know, we're upset with the Bush administration, we don't like John McCain, and so the polls are registering big for Obama? Or is there something bigger happening here? Are we going to look back and say, 2008, that was the year a lot of things changed in the United States of America? 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK, and let me know how you read it. Do you think that we are really seeing a move to a liberal America? And how should we adjust to speak to liberal America in terms they can understand? 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK, and we are going to have with us in just a few moments one of the architects of the conservative revolution in America, Chuck Colson, former aide to Richard Nixon, actually went to jail because of Watergate, where he came to know Jesus Christ, and is a really keen observer of trends, political and theological. And we're going to talk about, should this concern us? Should we see a really big movement here or not? We'll be talking about that in a few moments. And why don't you join the conversation? 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. But first, some items in the news. It's not just Opie and Andy who are endorsing Obama. And let me just go on the record. Carol Brady has not endorsed Barack Obama. Alice, the maid, has not endorsed Barack Obama. So the Brady Bunch is still safely apolitical, so far as I know. But Scott McClellan, the Bush administration, joined Opie and Andy to endorse Barack Obama yesterday. Second former Bush administration official to say he's going to vote for Obama. This is, I think, of a very different level than the Colin Powell endorsement. Scott McClellan just seems to be on a please pay attention to me tour, and this is another gasp of that attempt. But still, you have a Bush administration official endorsing this candidate. It's going to make news. Stephen Hawking, the famous cosmologist, is going to retire from his post at Cambridge University, but he's going to continue to write and to speak on issues of space and time and mathematics. He's kind of become a pop culture figure, especially since his PBS television specials about issues of a brief history of time and the popular level writings that he has written. Hawking says he's going to devote more time to that kind of thing in the future. A lot of articles today about placebos that more and more doctors are assigning pills they know are not going to do a thing in the world to help a medical problem. Yeah, but it helps with hypochondriac-leaning people who really think that they need to have something done to medicate their ailments. Give them a sugar pill, give them a vitamin, give them an antibiotic, give them something that maybe won't hurt them, but it'll give them a feeling as though they're doing something to them. I think that's kind of a symptom of a culture and of a world that wants to medicate everything, and a symptom of a world that's really filled with a lot of anxiety. Something must be wrong with me. Please fix it, and fix it right away. In this week's Newsweek magazine, there is a really interesting debate between John Meacham, who's the editor, publisher and editor of Newsweek, and Jonathan Alter, who writes for the magazine as well, about what this election represents. If you turn on any of the talking heads on cable news right now, you're going to see a consensus. And the consensus is that the nation seems to be moving toward a pretty massive Barack Obama win. John McCain says, no, I've got him right where I want him. I'm behind in money, I'm behind in the polls, I'm behind in the energy. Nobody expects me to win, but that's exactly the way I like it, and I'm going to have a surprise victory on November the 4th. Could be that this is going to be the biggest surprise upset since the Dewey defeats Truman election in 1948, but it certainly seems as though the energy is with Obama. Red state after red state after red state after red state seems to have Obama ahead or tied with McCain, and the news reports that are coming out of the McCain campaign right now evidence infighting. People are trying to salvage their reputations. This Sunday's New York Times Magazine is going to be about all of the infighting within the McCain campaign about who's to blame for this and who's to blame for that, whereas the Obama campaign at least seems to be sailing right on toward November, a week from Tuesday, and toward what seems to be a big win. John Meacham says what Barack Obama needs to understand if he is elected president is that this is still a center-right country. That if Barack Obama goes in with a huge liberal agenda, he's going to be massively disappointed because the country is still basically conservative, has basically conservative values, honors personal responsibility, doesn't want big government, doesn't want social revolution, just wants a little bit of change, but basically the status quo. Jonathan Alter says, no, we're heading left. He says the country is moving toward a sea change when it comes to how you see government. It's going to be like 1980 when conservatism had been out in the wilderness for so many years. It was equated with Barry Goldwater and discredited in 1964 and then came roaring back in with Ronald Reagan. Same thing's happening this year. George McGovern lost 49 states in 1972, and now a candidate to the left of McGovern may just win. If so, Alter says, it means we're living in a different kind of country. Do you agree? Do you think that the USA is still a basically conservative country? Or do you think this election is showing something? Maybe that's been true for a while, that our country is basically liberal. on values issues, on government issues. If that's the case, then how should we as Christians pay attention to the kind of culture that's around us? I mean, if we pretend as though we're still living in Mayberry, North Carolina, we're not really going to be able to speak to Obama Nation. Or are we? How should we think about the way that our country is moving? Are we seeing a country that is changing in significant ways? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. Is this election just another election, or is it bigger than that? 877-893-TALK. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and we'll be right back with Chuck Colson to talk about what's happening here on the Albert Mohler Program.
The Superior Gold Group, a precious metals firm, is proud to sponsor the Albert Mohler Program. You can get more information about buying gold at 866-432-8656.
I miss Mayberry, sitting on the porch drinking ice cold cherry coke, where everything is black and white. Kicking on the six string, people pass by and you call them by their first name.
You might miss Mayberry, but Ron Howard and Andy Griffith are supporting Barack Obama for president. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler. This is the Albert Mohler Program. And my question to you today is, do you think that our country in this election is seeing one of those once-in-a-generation monumental shifts ideologically? Is this like 1932 or 1980? Is our country now a liberal country? And if that's the case, then how should the church seek to change in order to address a country that's different? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK, and let me know how it looks from where you are. Out in Mayberry or Manhattan or wherever you are, do you see a cultural and political and ideological shift from where you are? Or is this just another election? 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. But first, we have on the line one of my heroes in the faith, Chuck Colson, former aide to Richard Nixon. He's the founder of Prison Fellowship. He is the host of the Breakpoint radio program with over 1,000 radio outlets nationwide, and he's the author of 23 books, most recently, The Faith, What Christians Believe, Why They Believe It, and Why It Matters, published just this year by Zondervan Publishing House, and the author perhaps most famously of the book Born Again, a book I read when I was, I think, 12. And really, it was really shaping for me to see the testimony of somebody who had been in the political arena, who of whom it was said he would run over his own grandmother to win an election, had that kind of a very aggressive mindset, who fell with the Watergate scandal and found Christ in the middle of it all. Chuck Colson, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Well, thank you very much, Russell. It's a delight to be with you, even if you did just stab me in the stomach by reminding me that you were 12 years old when Born Again was published.
Well,
I'm feeling like an artifact of history.
Well, but, not quite an artifact of history. Mr. Colson, you were part of one of those big elections, 1972, 49 states in which Richard Nixon carried the country. When you look at this election, does it look to you like one of these big, defining generational elections?
No, it definitely does not. What you're seeing, I think the thesis that the question you posed at the beginning, are we still a conservative country or are we going through one of those epical changes? We're still a very conservative country. When you define conservatism, not in ideological terms, but in terms of how we understand life, which is a very different thing, the country remains a very, very conservative country. It is throwing out the Conservative Party, apparently, because I believe they believe that the Conservative Party has betrayed its trust, and the Republicans have done a miserable job. I was glad to see them get power in 1994 in the Congress, although I don't take partisan positions because I think Washington needs to be cleaned up. And the problem is they haven't cleaned it up. It's gotten worse. The K Street lobbying crowd and the special interest money crowd have gotten more and more power and control.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think people are just saying, look, we've had enough of you. We'll try somebody new. But I don't think it's signaling a great shift in the worldview or attitude of the American people. It remains strongly conservative.
I'm really interested in your saying that the Republicans are being thrown out because of these lobbying, expansive government, all kinds of issues that one could mention. I remember you talking one time about being in the Nixon White House and about the way in which religious leaders, when they would come to meet with the president, they may say, I'm going to go in and I'm going to let him have it about this issue and that issue and this issue. But then when they walked into the Oval Office, they just melted.
I said the lions of the waiting room became the lambs of the Oval Office.
They yeah.
bask in the sunshine of being there. Yeah, it's true. Presidents don't get told to their face things they don't like to hear unless somebody has a very close relationship with that president. And the staff never does. So it's unlikely that a president really is told what's going on, if it really is going to rub them the wrong way. Pretty hard to say no to the president. I found that out myself. I had a very close relationship with Richard Nixon. I heard him say things in the office that I, as a lawyer, should have been greatly offended at, mm-hmm. and I didn't. I didn't interrupt and say, Mr. President, that may be against the law. You realize that there was a war going on and prisoners, just as being held, and just as there is today in two countries. And so it's kind of tough to you lose your perspective. You think we got to do what the national security demands, and that's an easy justification for a lot of things we shouldn't do. But I don't think the Republicans have really cleaned up the hill. I think what the country wants today, they want people who follow the established traditions that have made this country great. I mean, it's still. The Declaration of Independence, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, endowed by the Creator with certain inalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That still rings in the ears of Americans. It still resonates with 80% of the people. And that's a vision. We're much more a creed than we are. We're joined together by a creed than we are by a common heritage. And I think that creed is well spoken by Jefferson in the Declaration. And I think that's a very conservative view of life. And it's a very limited view of government. And it's a wonderful view of human freedom and human dignity. I think Americans share that.
Chuck Colson believes the country is still a basically conservative country, regardless of the outcome of this election. Do you agree? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. Does this election show us that we're living in a liberal America? 877-893-8255. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler. This is the Albert Mohler Program, and we're talking with Chuck Colson about election 2008 and what it means. Mr. Colson, when you think about the way that so many commentators are looking right now to evangelical Christians, there's a lot of talk about a shift among younger evangelicals away from the traditional religious right issues of abortion and marriage and so forth. Do you see a shift to the left among evangelicals?
I see a very troubling trend among younger evangelicals to abandon the Bible, and this is something, Russell, and I appreciate the stand that you've taken and Al Mola has taken. Appreciate your ministry greatly. But younger evangelicals, many your age, think that all that matters is an experience with Christ. This is what led to modernism a century ago that almost finished the church, because we felt we didn't have to live by the revealed truth of Scripture. And I think a number of younger evangelicals in the so-called emergent community are abandoning that. I think a lot of the emerging church members, which are the larger majority by far of young evangelicals, are up for grabs. And I've been working with a lot of young evangelicals who are in that category, teaching them that the Orthodox faith is all that we can rely on, that experience comes and goes and experience doesn't stand up. Rational arguments. We have to stick with what it is that has held the church together through all these centuries, and that is the faith given, trusted to the saints once for all. I think we're making some progress with that.
We may be waking up on November the 5th to President-elect Barack Obama. Do you think that would represent a huge shift in American culture toward the left? Or are we still a conservative country? And how should the church read that in terms of the way that we preach and teach and disciple? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program.
listening to the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. To get on the line, call toll-free 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Or go to www.albertmohler.com and email your questions and comments. Here again is your guest host, Dr. Russell Moore.
Chuck Colson went from being a hatchet man for Richard Nixon to being a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're talking today about election 2008. Does this mean that we are living in a liberal or a liberalizing country? Chuck Colson says no. He says we're still living in a basically conservative country, regardless of the outcome of this election. I wonder if you agree with him. Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. When you look around in your neighborhood, in your community, do you think we're living in a basically conservative country, or is something changing? And if so, how should we change in order to address that kind of culture? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. Mr. Colson, before the break, we were talking about your concept that we haven't really changed from being a basically conservative country. I wonder how, though, you would evaluate the culture. When you see the kind of pornographic culture we're living in, the kind of harshness of violence that we see in film, in video games, and all around us, when you see a divorce culture that's accelerating in the way that it is, what does that do to your thesis that we're basically conservative?
Well, there are signs of moral decline in the culture, of course. And the cultural elites have a totally different set of standards and values than do most God-fearing, country-loving American citizens. And we're constantly railing against the media. That's why we constantly rail against the media. I watched this trend begin in the Nixon years, and I saw how the media was running away and the elites were running away, and I saw them leaving the blue-collar workers behind, and that's why in 1972 we organized a major effort, and one of the reasons for Nixon's landslide victory was we appealed to the hard hats, the people who didn't want abortion and acid and amnesty, the three A's of our campaign.
Mm-hmm.
That's still out there today. The culture is slowly, we're slowly losing the culture. I speak as a church now, not as a conservative. As a church, we're losing the culture because we've been painted into a corner. And the cultural elites have very little sympathy, even fairness, towards Christians today. They look at us as bigots. I was just at Columbia University last week. I gave a talk, and in the question time, I was asked, how can I believe in a religion that is so intolerant as to believe it's the only one where one goes to heaven?
Mm-hmm.
And I said that because it's a truth claim, and you're making truth claims all day long. The moderator was a professor, and he was an atheist. I said, professor here, Eisenbach, he makes a truth claim when he says there is no God. Well, the whole thing about a pluralistic society is we're free to make our truth claims, and it was marvelous. I took about 5 minutes, and that whole crowd responded well. I mean, they get it once it's explained, but we haven't been doing a good enough job in the church of explaining ourselves to the culture. My formula for life works this way. The cult, the culture, the Christian church, the faith, the belief system forms a culture. Culture spawns politics.
Mm-hmm.
So what we're seeing in the deterioration of American politics right now is the result of a deteriorating culture. The culture is deteriorating because we're not doing a good enough job as Christians to make a winsome case for revealed truth, for a biblical way of life, for a biblical worldview. This is why I'm devoting so much of my life to this at the moment, because I think it's critical that the church wake up to its responsibilities and to fulfill the cultural commission which it has. But having said that, even though we are slipping somewhat in our grip on the culture and traditional values grip on the culture, or conservative values grip on the culture, I still think that the people of the man on the street, and the reason you're seeing a shift away from the Republican Party this year is the economy is tanking, which is a result of a false worldview, and the Republicans haven't done a good job of cleaning up the mess. I think if you had a reform movement this year, if you had a Ross Perot out there saying he's going to dismantle half the government, I think he might have gotten elected. I think people are very upset about what's happening in government.
Chuck Colson says it doesn't represent a monumental shift. We're still a basically conservative country, regardless of what happens in this election. I wonder if you agree. Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. How do we address a country that's changing to some degree or other? 877-893-TALK. Chuck Colson, thank you so much for being with me today on the Albert Mueller Program. I appreciate you and your ministry.
Russell, I appreciate you as well, and keep up your good work.
Thank you so much. Give me a call, 877-893-8255, and let me know, how do you think our country is changing, and how should we as a church speak to it? 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. This is Russell Moore, sitting in for Albert Mueller, and this is the Albert Mueller Program.
The Superior Gold Group, a precious metals firm, is proud to sponsor the Albert Mueller Program. You can get more information about buying gold at 866-432-8656.
This is the dawning of the age of Aquarius, age of Aquarius, Aquarius.
Welcome back to the Albert Mueller Program. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mueller. The hippies are back. The culture is moving back to Woodstock, and it is the dawning of the age of Aquarius. That's the way some people would picture this upcoming presidential election. Chuck Colson says, no, we still live in a basically conservative country. John Meacham, editor of Newsweek magazine, says we still live in a center-right country. I disagree. I do think that this election represents something of the culture moving way to the left. And frankly, I think that we are going to see in the next couple of years exactly how far to the left the culture has moved. This is showing up now. I think Mr. Colson is exactly right, and I refuse to call him Chuck. By the way, I don't care what he says. This is an icon of evangelicalism. Mr. Colson says that the culture has gone downstream to politics. I agree completely, and I think we have a culture that has moved. I think that even the economic questions that we have going right now are basically cultural issues of personal responsibility, of thrift, of not. I mean, the fact that when you look at so many 20-somethings and 30-somethings and they're saddled down with credit card debt, that's a cultural issue. That's a moral issue. That's a personal responsibility issue, and it shows up later in the political arena. I do think this is a big election, and it represents something big. I'm not a fearmonger. I'm not hopeless, as we talked about on Monday, but I think if we miss out on what this time in American history tells us about who we're talking to, we're going to miss something. What do you think? Do we still live in a conservative country, or is this now a liberal country? And if so, how should the church change the way that we speak? How should the church address it? 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. We have Andy, who is calling from Destin, Florida, beautiful Destin, Florida, listening on XM Radio. Andy, welcome to the Albert Mueller Program.
Thank you very much, Russell. Enjoyed the show. Listen, I think it's ideas have consequences, and our kids have been exposed in government schools to a liberal agenda for so long that I think that's I agree with you. I think we're heading toward a liberal bent in our society, and I think the answer is Christian schools. I think that's where kids are going to be able to understand the downfalls of every sphere of life and be able to act accordingly and respond accordingly. I think that's why we got so many folks voting for some folks that really we shouldn't be voting for Christians. So that would be my my response to that. And I do appreciate Chuck Colson's words, and I'm a big fan of his as well, but I kind of disagree with him. I think the schools are catching up to us.
So you see that as the root, the education system and the way that young people are being acculturated in the education system.
Yeah, that too. Plus, I think our churches need to do a better job of not just, you know, it's not showing up on Sundays, but, you know, it's a worldview that we've got to get into the minds of our kids to where when they're exposed to things like socialism, abortion, gay marriage, whatever, they can respond intelligently, biblically, and do it as a threat. You know, talking about a threat to national security. That's what I understand Rome felt. Rome fell from within, and that, unfortunately, is, I fear, is the direction we're going unless the Christian base wakes up and we start putting folks in there that stand for what conservatives stand for.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Andy. Do you agree with Andy? Do you think that our country is moving in a liberal direction? Is this a big, changing, definitive election? And if so, I mean, what do you do? It's not enough simply to say, oh, isn't it terrible? Isn't this awful? What's happening to the culture? The church has a responsibility to speak to the culture. We've been given a commission to evangelize people, to disciple people. So what should we learn from what's happening in the world around us? 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. We have Dennis on the line calling from the state of Indiana. Dennis, welcome to the Albert Mueller Program.
Thanks for taking my call.
Glad to. What's your thought today?
I think the nation as a whole, outside of a few major population centers, are still conservative at heart. However, our mainstream media, ABC, CBS, and NBC, have shifted so far to the left that the picture that's been painted for the American people are that's the way they need to go on the liberal side. So how we need to handle this as a church, I think, is the church needs to get back to its roots. Instead of coming into church on Sunday morning and putting on shows for people, they need to put into the hard preaching and get back to Word of Song and the worship it was a few years ago, 10, 15 years ago.
How do you define hard preaching, Dennis?
Well, preaching the gospel.
All right.
Not preaching where you feel good because you came that day, mm-hmm. but preaching that you need to be told the truth. And if you feel bad about it, then that's probably a good indication. The Holy Spirit's probably trying to tell you, hey, you ain't got everything just right.
All right. Thanks so much, Dennis. You need a radio program, Dennis. That's pretty good. 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. What do you think? Is our culture changing? Does this election represent something that is a big movement? And if so, how do we address it? You have presidential elections in the past that really were signals as to what's going on in the country in which we've been placed by Providence. 1932. Election of Franklin Roosevelt, 1980, the election of Ronald Reagan. Could it be that 2008, if it goes the direction it looks like it's going, is it another one of these big defining moments in American history? And how can the church be ready to speak to a Obama America? 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. What do you think? We've got Malcolm on the line. Malcolm.
Hello.
What's your thought on this?
My comment is this. I've been an evangelical for all my life, and I've been living over here with my wife, an American now.
Mm-hmm.
And what seems evident to me is the anti-intellectualism in evangelicalism.
Mm-hmm.
Seems that a number of families now talk about the loss of their children who've been brought up in the faith, going off to college and finding that they can't cope with the questions that are being asked.
Mm-hmm.
And my plea would be for there to be a real commitment to a development of a good apologetics, especially with young people.
All right. Malcolm says we're losing our young people because we've got an empty, airheaded evangelicalism. What do you think? When you look around at your neighborhood and your community, is the church ready? If this is a definitive shift in American culture represented in 2008, are our churches ready to address it? 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mueller, and this is the Albert Mueller Program. Welcome back to the Albert Mueller Program. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mueller, and we're talking today about 2008. Are we still living in a conservative country? Have we ever really lived in a conservative country? My grandfather voted Democrat in every election, for every office, all of his life, except for one. And it was in 1972, and he voted for Richard Nixon. We were talking about it one time. When I was a grown man, he said, I only voted Republican one time. It was in 1972 with Richard Nixon. I made a joke. Well, I guess that cured you of that. I mean, the one time you vote for a president of another party than the one that you hold, he winds up resigning in disgrace. And he turned and was very serious and said, I will never regret casting that vote. George McGovern was not qualified to be president of the United States. He said that he would crawl on his hands and knees to Hanoi, and I couldn't do it. And it really was memorable to me to understand at that moment how Richard Nixon was able to win 49 states, everything but Massachusetts and the District of Columbia in 1972. That was a big election, and it told you a lot about what was going on in the country. I think 2008 is a big election, too. Not that the election is going to change the country, but that the election shows the way that the country has changed. And I think it's a serious matter. You're going to have infants who will live or die based upon how this election turns out. But I also think at the same time, we need to recognize that maybe in the aftermath of this election, our churches will have fewer illusions about the kind of world that we live in. We are living in a world full of people who are captive to some really, really destructive forces. There's no way that when you look out from the pulpit on Sunday morning, if you're a pastor, when you look out from the pew on Sunday morning and you look around at all of these people who are languishing under the destruction of divorce, there's no way you can call that conservative. And maybe being shaken up by seeing what is happening right now, as seriously as we take it, maybe it will give us the kind of prophetic voice to be able to, as some of our callers have said, to be able to speak truth in a painful kind of a way, and to be able to see that we're living in a place that maybe isn't as friendly to the gospel as we've always assumed it is. The good news is the Holy Spirit is more powerful than a culture, more powerful than elections, more powerful than human rebellion. And the Holy Spirit, when the word is brought, changes stuff in a pretty mighty way. That's good news. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler. This is the Albert Mohler Program.
Thanks for listening, and be sure to visit our website, www.albertmohler.com. You'll find archives of past shows and other important resources. You can also email your questions and comments. That's www.albertmohler.com. Be sure to join us next time for the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter.